Hello, welcome back everyone to The Good, The Bad and The Natty. This is episode 12, and it's just
Oh my
me.
God, are we on 12?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like more than 12 weeks because we've been doing them not every week as well.
Yeah, it's been going on for time, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just me and Tom today, and we've actually got some good questions for once. Like really good questions, so hopefully this will be informative, and I'll try and put timestamps below, but let's be honest, guys, that's a lot of effort.
If we got more listeners, yeah.
Yeah, I used to wonder what, when I was listening to AJ's podcast, he'd start like ferociously typing or writing. I'd be like, what on earth is he doing? But he'd be like making a note of what time it was. Which makes sense, but I haven't got a pen on me, so I'm not doing that. You'll just have to listen to the whole thing. Right, so let's just kick it off. You've got some good ones. Do you want to start off with one of your questions, then?
Yeah, let's roll through mine. Right, so let's start. Cool. So, if we start with the who's taking the British question, that's, we're just going to be here all, we're going to end up talking about all that shit. So, what was the physique that inspired you to start bodybuilding? For me, Flex Lewis. I remember watching him on TV when it was like some documentary about bodybuilding, and I remember seeing his physique and him standing on the sofa going through his poses and stuff because it was a few weeks out from a show. This is back when it was the 202 class, not the 212. And still up and coming through the ranks, and he was being coached by Neil Hill, obviously, and he was talking about his diet and his training and what he did and all that sort of stuff, and I was just blown away by it, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then that itself like solidified me in bodybuilding, because I had seen bits of it in like magazines and stuff and, you know, YouTube videos and whatever, but when I watched it on TV, I was like, yeah, I want to do this. Like, so that was what inspired me the most. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And for me, I don't really know. Obviously, the people that inspire me now are different maybe to the ones that inspired me at the beginning. It was more not necessarily...
Who's had the most influence since you've been in bodybuilding?
Since I've been in bodybuilding? Probably looking up to people like Sid Gillen, just because, I mean, I know she is at the top of her game, but also Nicole Wilkins. Like, I remember, again, watching documentary, and they had this slow motion, like, montage of her walking out, overly exaggerated, like, into the middle of the stage and just hitting, like, not even one of the mandatory poses, just, like, a relaxed pose, and everything just looked amazing. And when, when she was talking about, like, the amount of work she had to put in, and she finally got, like, 2 back-to-back Olympia titles. I was like, yeah, I want that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's back when figure was very much more toned down,
wasn't it? It was toned. I think it was the same shape.
It was more in between toned and athletic, wasn't it? It wasn't pushed to the limit.
Which I guess kind of that would bridge the gap a bit, I guess. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's more like a in between toned and athletic. Maybe I'd say athletic, definitely not trained. Whereas nowadays, you can bring trained condition and still really do well in figure.
What else have we got as well? What other questions have we got? I mean, that's physiques and stuff. But let's go for more informative stuff today. Is 30 minutes on the treadmill enough cardio after weight training? Absolutely no idea, because that's totally independent. That's a vague question, isn't it? Like, I have literally no idea about this person, so I couldn't say that.
If your cardio is staying the same throughout, I imagine they're doing a cut and it's a, like, it's for a prep, I presume. If your cardio is staying the same throughout, that just really doesn't make sense, because your body constantly is changing.
Yeah, you need to create more of a deficit.
Yeah. Unless you're
there are people who can get away with doing zero cardio.
Yeah.
Just doing, keeping an eye on how much they move around in a day with their steps and stuff, but I mean, I've got one guy who's doing no cardio and he won't be doing any the whole way through his prep, because I know his body works. But yeah, it's vague as fuck. Should we just move on to some good ones?
Yeah.
You've got some sick ones. I'll get through my crap ones first.
Yeah.
Best ways you've found to gather knowledge, as in knowledge on bodybuilding.
Okay, So, just general knowledge. I feel like there's two parts. There's knowledge about, like, nutrition and stuff that you put into your body. And then there's stuff on, like, training. For me, I never really knew what sort of intensity was actually needed until I started following people, like, obviously, trained by JP Site. As much as people might bash, you know, the site, but I think that sort of intensity, like, actually seeing it helps, because if you're in the gym and you're able to, like, hold a conversation and, I don't know,
it's
just...
It's motivation towards... It's probably not needed to go that extreme.
No.
It is needed, but it does. If you can get to a percentage of that, then you're probably training at the level of intensity that's needed, especially during your set. I mean, some stuff's for the camera, sure, like the whole hyping up thing, and like banging your head on a bar and, gritting your teeth and spitting and fucking, you know, and you're bleeding after a set out your nose or whatever. Like, that's not really needed.
But when you're in the set, I think it is.
Like, you can go and have a conversation afterwards, but as long as you can, like, flick that switch to go and do those sets, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. But in terms of intensity, which I think is one of the hardest things, and most people in their lifetime of, like, training will probably never be able to reach
intensity. Be able to switch it more on for certain events. There are certain people, like, who are able to turn it on more for like, a prep, like, towards the actual prep itself. They can like fuck arse around in the off season, and then when it comes to a prep, they might be gifted enough that they can just train hard into a prep and do well. But I mean, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. It's not one of those things that should be sort of like dogged on. You shouldn't, like, have a go at someone if they haven't got that level of intensity or that level of focus. If they're trying to get, and that's necessary to get that physique, but they don't put in that level of focus and that level of aggression and that level of intensity in their sets, then sure, yeah, then take the piss out of them, because they are fuck-assing around when they know what's needed to be done. But if they just don't have it and they don't mind, then that's not a big deal.
Yeah, also, there's some people that, like we say, you can just touch a weight and they'll grow. So why would they want to get in a more sympathetic state if they can get away with
themselves into the ground where they don't need to do that. But then when those people do push that level of intensity, usually their bodies are so responsive that it will yield even more. But if they don't need to do as much, then train smart, don't train hard. Like, train hard to a degree, right? But like, don't just, like, go in there and swing shit about because fucking, you know, because Jordan Peters does 6-plate RDLs, you should do them. No, because you'll fuck yourself up. Like, even if your muscles can handle it, your joints won't be able to. Like, that's not someone to take, and not in a bad sense, that's not someone to take training sort of don't look at him and go, I'm gonna do what he does. Jordan does what he does because Jordan does what he needs to do, but to build muscle in his frame. Like, his frame is, like, fucking maxed out, essentially. Like, so he has to push beyond the levels of, like, fucking anything to actually get an inkling of muscle out of himself. So it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, take motivation from it, but don't copy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in terms of just, like, written nutrition knowledge sort of stuff, I've just looked on, like, I've done a lot of reading up on just, like, research studies, because as much as there's, like, theoretical knowledge, anecdotal stuff is always gonna, like, play a large role. And also, I think just experimenting, like, you know your body more.
I think anecdotal stuff is decent with when you can actually link it back to something that makes sense, like scientifically. So if you go, oh, this works for me, I wonder if this is the way that this works. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you'll never know unless you try.
I seem to run better when I use this sort of, you know, protein source or whatever, and my digestion seems to feel better. Oh, there seems to be a study linking this to fucking people with issues with stomach. You know what I mean? Like, you can always just bounce stuff around and just sort of see, like, how you respond. But yeah, anecdotal stuff and looking how you respond as an individual is always gonna matter more than looking at, well, it's not gonna matter more. They should both be taken into some consideration.
Yeah, obviously, like,
you can't run off studies, can you?
No. Obviously, like, nutrition and stuff, you can play around with all you like, because eating X amount of food isn't gonna kill you. But then obviously, when it comes to, like, supplements and you know, drugs, then maybe it's better idea just to speak to someone who's got the credentials already, like someone like yourself or Joe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just people in general. speak to someone. Do you mean Chosen Jeffrey?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah, anyone like that. I mean, even booking consultations with higher level, you know, coaches and things like that. Like Dr. Scott Stevenson's very, very, very knowledgeable. You know, either Cal or Luke from the Muscle Mentors
yeah.
are both fantastic.
Yeah.
Joe's good himself. If you wanted to just, I think booking consultations and speaking to people about certain subjects that you're very, very interested in is always a very good way to go forward, because you will always pick up more knowledge than you actually anticipated to pick up. You might want one question answered, but you'll get 10 questions that you didn't know you even had answered, which is always a good way to go about things like that. I've got a couple of good other questions here.
Go ahead.
The bench press one. So bench press off the ground, is it worthwhile or not? Reverse band a Smith machine bench press instead, because you'll actually put less tension through your delts at the base as opposed to. Think about it, it's more stretched out when it reaches the bottom, therefore there is less tension at the bottom, but the same amount of tension at the top. So the movement should, what you're thinking about is, it's obviously it's more weight at the top, but basically it should make it so that it's like even all the way through. That's how a reverse band should be set up. Doing it on a Smith like that, as long as it's going to sort of be okay for your shoulders and everything, that's the best way to go about it. But then if you are getting issues continuously, just look at what, don't, this is one thing people say to me. Someone said this to me today. They're like, oh, my shoulders are fucked up. Should I be taking DECA and growth hormone? Because I really want to still be able to train. And I'm like, no, like take a step back and look at what's going on with your shoulders first. And what exercises have you been doing that has fucked up? Okay, so it might be this. All right, so why don't you take away these exercises and just do other chest exercises and see if those sort you out first? Do they sort you out? Yes. Okay, continue doing them. Do they sort you out? No, it's still fucked. Okay, see a physio. Like, just do have like a little flow chart in your head of like how shit's going. Like, don't just go like, oh, is this exercise gonna make me better? Or like,
I think Smith machines vary a lot as well. Because there's a Smith machine in my gym in my town, and it is the heaviest, most uneven thing ever. But then there's one at Ultra.
That's not one to fucking.
Bother, nah. And then there's one at Ultraflex, and it's so smooth. It's just you just got to play around with stuff, and you know, obviously you've got the bands. If you only had access to one gym, then you could use a band.
You reverse the band, see how it feels on it. But then it's setting up the fucking daisy chain to actually reverse it itself is the thing that people seem to struggle with the most. Fuck me, it was a bloody nightmare setting it up the other day. I'm trying to explain.
Never done it.
No, you probably won't,
man. Yeah, no. I only do one chest exercise, and I don't have any elbow issues, because
You don't need to do a lot of chest exercises.
No, you know.
No.
Are you kidding me? Right.
I'm sorry, I'm just taking the piss. People like listen to our first one where we talk, and it's all like very polite and prim and proper, and now it's just us ripping into each other at like random.
Can you imagine if they saw our WhatsApps? That would be quite funny.
No. Like, literally, oh, have you seen what Santo's doing? Oh, fuck, that's really bad. Like,
yeah. No. Whoopsies. Right, okay, so,
I've got one last one, Kevin.
All right, Missy, go on then.
It's the Tom show today, mate. Kevin's podcast, solo, with Tom as no, it's the one I was telling you about. It's the Harry Harris one.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got to go in, unfortunately. I didn't want to have to do this, but this one time, I must go all out.
There's a gun to your head.
There is, and I've got to go all out, and I don't want to, because I'm sure he's a lovely gentleman, but he's very, very wrong with what he's saying online. His words. So the question was, even if it is deemed by many better to cruise than to PCT, why do people opt to come off, i.e. Harry Harris, the IFBB pro? Okay, so coming off gear and actually doing a PCT, so post-cycle therapy. Basically, let's break it down for people that don't actually know what it is. So you would use drugs along the lines of HCG. So this is all... I've got to do my disclaimer overnight. This is not medical advice. This is for entertainment purposes only. I am not a medical professional. Do not take anything I say seriously. Do not take anything I say with any intent for you to continue with the processes or protocols I would set out in this conversation.
Okay.
Entertainment only. So, Doing a PCT would be considering using drugs like, so you finish a cycle of steroids, you would come off this these cycle of steroids and cease taking them. Therefore, you would then, in theory, want to get your HPTA, which is your hypothalamus pituitary testosterone axis, back on track. Okay, so back on track, I mean, get your testosterone levels producing again. So get your hormones to a level of what they were before you went on the testosterone, the trenbolone, the whatever drugs you decided to take. This is in a bloke, okay? Women, we'll cover that another episode because there isn't anything.
We actually did that in the first ever episode.
Yeah, didn't we? Yeah. And we did it with other shit as well. So basically, the theory is, what Harry is saying in this video that's going around Instagram is that he thinks that it's best for you to come off and give your body a break. Now, to be fair, he does say it's his opinion, okay? It is wrong, unfortunately. It is actually scientifically wrong. But what he's saying in his opinion is his opinion. And he says it might not be the scientific... He even says something along the lines of, it might not be the actual proper way to do it, but this is how the way I've always done it. And that's fine. So it's his decision to do that. But then one of the issues that he says is that he says... he cruises when he doesn't have time in between shows to come off. So what? That's actually not coming off. That's still doing the same cycle that you were doing. You're just taking less of it. So if he was to do... Okay, for example, let's say he runs a cycle going in towards a show, right? And it's a 20-week cycle going in towards this show because he's dieting for, say, 16, 20 weeks, okay? He then decides that instead of coming off, because he's got to then carry on and do the British... after this cycle. So say he qualifies in May and the British happens to be in October. Well, that doesn't give him enough time to then come off after the show to make any real progress, so therefore he would just cruise between the cycles. Well, his actual levels of testosterone, his body is still, quote-unquote, shut down. Therefore, this doesn't make any sense. This is nonsensical because you're not actually giving that body a break whatsoever. Well, a break, again, in quote-unquote. But, then you would just essentially come on. So essentially his prep might have been 20 weeks. He might then have cruised for 6 weeks. And then he might have done a 16-week prep going in towards that show. Okay, so he's got 20, 6, and 16 weeks. All on gear. It's a 42-week cycle on steroids. Okay, so it's a 42-week cycle. He hasn't come off. And what he was saying in the video of where he was saying, explaining about like how he does it and whatever, and then how it's better to come off. Well, the cruise wasn't the coming off at all. It didn't do anything. You just basically, you could have blasted the whole fucking time and taken massive amounts, and it would have done exactly the same to your hormone levels the whole way through. Okay, so his theory is that coming off and PCTing is better. Having levels where you flux consistently over the course of a year, coming off and on and off and on and off and on, isn't actually better for the brain, because one, you're having super physiological levels of hormones in the body at one point, then you're having fucking zero, then you're trying to creep them back up using different drugs, so getting them to like, you know, like trying to get them to sort of creep up to what they were before you went onto the steroids, and they might get back to that whilst you're on these PCT drugs, HCG, Clomid, Novadex, anything along those lines, to sort of rejuvenate that levels. But then when you come off them, that was just a bridge. They're going to dip back down to where they were before. So then you would then go back on a cycle. Well, you wouldn't have recovered fully. You wouldn't have got your levels to back to where they were, even in a long space of time. I mean, you might be one of the fair few that are lucky, but you probably wouldn't have got your levels back to anything decent. And then you've gone back on a cycle again. So you've just gone from being shut down to fuck, or creeping back up, to shutting yourself down again, and then you're going to come off again after that one, and shut yourself down, being shut down to fuck. It's just good. What have you done there? You fucking screenshotted it again, Caitlin.
No, I haven't.
Anyway, so his theory was that he was going to come off and, you know, after these shows and whatever. He might be one of the fair few that are lucky enough to have a natural level of testosterone that would come back after battering it for so long. However, that's not likely in the slightest, and he's most likely going to have to go on and stay on TRT. It's actually safer to stay on the TRT than it is to come off, you know, and to try and bring your levels back. It's never going to happen. So this is the problem that a lot of people get when they first start taking steroids. If you are starting as a bloke, be prepared to stay on for the full rest of your life, or don't take them. If you don't plan on being able to do this until the day you die, like not just bodybuilding, but actual taking testosterone replacement therapy, don't ever start it in the beginning. Because it's not a good idea. If you decide, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I'm okay with having to stick a needle in my butt every few days, or an injection of testosterone or anything like that, then don't you know, if you don't feel like you're going to be able to do it, don't do it. Mm. So that's one of the ways I would go about it. I mean, it's just one of those things that Harry, yes, is an IFBB pro, but unfortunately, that doesn't make him a voice of knowledge on the subject. Or a voice of knowledge on the subject. He might have anecdotal knowledge to his knowing, and he's a very, very good bodybuilder, and I would never, ever say anything otherwise. And I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but his knowledge on this subject, unfortunately, is flawed, and it's just one of those things, really. Mm. That was me going in when I really didn't, you know, haven't ever gone in on someone before.
He's
a really nice guy as well, and I've just dogged him on here.
Well, no, you're not necessarily going in on him as a person, you're just going in on...
It's just his thoughts on the actual subject.
Yeah, and people are always going to have loads of different thoughts on stuff in... I guess at the end of the day, like, if you know you're getting into it, bodybuilding, wanting to go that far, then, you know, it's never going to be the healthiest, but there are ways that you can it healthier.
And that's a thing that a lot of people don't realise, and a lot of decisions are made as a younger individual, that, like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm doing this for my life. Okay, for me, for example, I'm never going to be able to stop taking TRT. My test will never come back. It just won't, no matter what magical drugs come out there. It ain't coming back anytime soon. Well, it ain't coming back ever. Yeah. So I'm on TRT until the day I die, and that's just the way it's going to be, unfortunately, but it is what it is. Anyway, you had some really good questions. Let me stop answering my questions. I'm done with all of mine.
Okay,
I'm good. I can go now, Caitlin. Thank you. Bye. See you later.
Right, okay. So... Right, so one question that someone has actually been asked this one already, but I think it'll be different from our perspective. So it's, who personally do we know that, you know, has the potential to make it all the way? And by all the way, we mean the Olympia, because essentially that's the furthest you can get. Yeah. So do you know anyone personally that you think...
Like, three of my clients could probably make it off the top of my head now.
That's nutty to say, to be honest.
Sorry?
That's crazy to be able to say.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Sara in physique, Chris Gregg in men's physique, and Ross in C12 bodybuilding. Yeah. When he's got more size.
Chris Gregg?
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah. Has he only done a UKUP show?
He did Body Power under another coach before, and then that guy fucking basically, it was just the most shocking prep ever. It was dreadful. And he fucked it, the coach fucked it for him. It wasn't Chris that fucked that prep at all. Like, Chris is working. And then he looked like shit, he did Body Power and didn't even place. Mm. But his structure, when I was seeing up there, I'm like looking at it and I'm going, you could have fucking won this whole thing.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm thinking, like, he's got such a men's physique that I'm surprised that he's only ever done a UKUP. And that's not to say UKUP is bad, it's just like it's not one of the, in the hierarchy, it's not PCA, it's not AFBB.
No, but he did walk that show. He did walk
it took the overall, didn't he?
Like, no one was even close.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Anyway, what else? Other people. Sarah.
Yeah.
Obviously, and Ross, but Ross needs to be bigger because he's only 190 pounds on stage, so he's still.
But that's good because he's got
22 pounds left of muscle tissue he could have on stage.
Yeah, exactly, which is a lot better position than being, let's say, 210 pounds on stage and looking relatively small. Yeah.
Ross is good.
He's got loads of room to push. Like, I see. This is the thing with classic physique. I see a lot of people wanting to do classic physique, and in that off season, or a couple of weeks into off season, they've already beaten surpassed the stage weight that they're physically allowed to be. And it
how many weeks?
Like maybe like 3 or 4 weeks post show.
They're already well over what they need to be.
Yeah, like it. Obviously, they're going to be gaining a lot more size, but the amount and a lot more weight, but the amount that they will have to take off to reach that weight category.
Okay, so I'm 6'2", and I can be 109 kilos on stage.
109, what's that like, 225, 235?
I don't even know.
It's more like 235, I think. But like that, even then, 235, that's like the upper... That's like literally the upper echelon of it because you're like really tall. Most people who do classic, I'd say.
Was it 108?
109, you said.
Might be 108. 238.
Yeah, 238. Even then, that's like that's the upper bracket. Most people have to be like, for their height category, I think it's like 190 pounds. And I see some people a couple of weeks post show at like 200 pounds, and I'm thinking, but you're like, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense in terms of that. But it's quite interesting. It's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I could still squeeze into classic. That's the thing. I wouldn't do it because I've got a classic structure, but I could still squeeze into the classic class. Mm. But that's just one of those things. Like, I don't want to.
No, but that does make it exciting for Ross, though.
Yeah, it'd be good. Anyway, what about you? People you know personally, not like through Instagram and stuff, but do you know anyone personally who you see at the gym who's like a novice competitor or a low level, not low level, but like an amateur competitor who's got Olympia potential? What about Rotherham?
Rotherham, I think...
AJ Morris, if he took juice.
AJ Morris, yeah.
AJ, if he ever turned to the dark side.
You know what? I would be very, very interested because I don't see many people with as much consistency. Can you imagine how much stronger we'd get on, like, deadlifts, for example?
Yeah, that was my Darth Vader voice saying, AJ, I am your father.
I wonder whether he'll listen to this. AJ, if you listen to this, you know.
AJ, if you listen to this, start taking some fucking trim.
I think Meg's, you know, Meg Sylvester, her shape and femininity is so beautiful. I'd love to see her make it really far, and I think she's got the potential, but I don't know. Someone that I know, what's that, sorry?
She's not as beautiful as me, though.
But some Kamara in fitness, genuinely, she will get there because no one's going to be beating her in the physique round, in my opinion, for the majority of shows.
Can she do backflips, though?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
She's a fitness pro, you muppet.
All you have to do is backflip, and then you've won. That's literally it. You have to go out there, do a few backflips, and then you've won the Olympia. That's how you do it these days.
No, but she's a fitness pro already, and I think she's doing the Chicago pro. But her physique could place top five in a figure pro show easily. So I think in the physique round, no one's really going to be beating her there. Obviously, it just depends on the routine, doesn't it? It's so hard because... There's a lot.
I don't
of...
follow into fitness.
It's so hard because a lot of people are really, really good bodybuilders, but there's a difference between being a really good bodybuilder and being like the best.
The dog's bollocks. What was the other questions? Let's roll on to some.
Okay. So, someone asked, "What is the minimum effective cycle that a female could get away with?" To gain muscle? I presume this is in an off-season period.
Depends on the class, depends on the levels she's willing to push again. Again, that's really varied.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, if someone's at, like, the minimum amount, like, fuck, like, if we're talking milligrams of drugs, like, there's mega, mega strong compounds out there that she could take, this woman could take, at like 2.5 milligrams a day. But would I get them to do that? No. Like, dosage is not subjective. Dosage is drug-based, so with women, again, reverse of that, the drugs that they take are simply based on the dosage that they want to take of them. If I had a woman come to me and go, I'm on 50 milligrams of Anavar because I've been told that 50 milligrams, I've been told that Anavar is safe for women to take, I would go, oh my god, are you mental? And then I would say, no, let's swap compounds and let's use, okay, issues off season, I'd say let's use 10 milligrams of MPP 3 times a week or 15 milligrams of MPP 3 times a week because that in itself will yield better gains than the VAR did, or at least close to gains that the VAR did, and limit the amount of science due to the high level of androgen that she's putting in herself, because the VAR itself will have the MPP itself would have a different effect on the body completely. So it's dose dependent. It's not drug dependent, and it's not 10 milligrams of Anavar is the best thing to take, because it's just not. It's totally dependent on where you want to go with your physique. Like, we had this conversation a while back, didn't we?
Yeah, and it's the person as well. Someone could take
what
the
class you wanted to be.
Yeah. Someone can take literally the least possible, like you say, that cycle, for example, get no gains but just side effects. and then someone else might literally get nothing but all the games.
Oh, fuck off it.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you don't know until you do it, which is unfortunate. Absolutely. It'd be cool if you could get some sort of test to see whether you're receptive or not. Like, it'll come back like smiley face or angry face. You're good to go, or maybe not.
Is Trent gonna do much for me? Smiley face. Or a woman comes back and it's like, no, you're just gonna get a beard.
Yeah. A beard. Okay, right, next one. So someone's asking, should I aim for PCA or IFBB? How do I know what to go for in terms of
looks? What's your thoughts on that, Kate?
So I think there definitely is a different look in PCA compared to IFBB. So firstly, if whoever it is that you're coaching or someone that you respect and is honest and isn't just going to go, oh my God, you look amazing, ask them. And if they're knowledgeable and they've coached quite a few people, they'll be able to tell you straight away. However, I think a lot of people will go for PCA first just because that is the natural progression. However, there are quite a lot of people who've actually gone straight into IFBB due to the two bros, which is different. It just depends what you're looking for. If you want to give a local show a go first, then maybe PCA. But it swings and roundabouts, because for bikini, I'd say you need to get a lot more shredded for PCA compared to IFBB. It's a hard one.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so, one thing, actually, do you know what? There's a good topic to talk about, and she proper fobbed us off on this. Well, not fobbed us off, but she wasn't allowed to do this podcast, was she?
Yeah,
let's not go anywhere with that. But she's obviously won her card in a federation.
Yeah.
If I say it, it's just going to make it way too obvious.
Yeah.
And then she's moved over and said, I'm going to go for the
other
federation's
card
now. Okay, I'm trying really hard.
Completely different look, though, which is interesting. I can't wait to follow that, to be honest.
I think that will be a fun one to follow as well.
Yes.
Anyway, back to where we were, because that will delve into me getting in trouble. What else? What other questions have you got? Come on, throw these questions.
Okay. What is the biggest mistake you made in bodybuilding, back in the day, and would you change that?
Anything that I know now that I would go back and change?
So, not necessarily anything you know now, but what would you say is your biggest mistake, back in the day?
As a teenage lad getting into bodybuilding, not realizing how fucking expensive it is, and not working more. I wish I had gone and done more jobs to pay for my bodybuilding as such, because it's so expensive that my parents weren't supportive of it at all. So there was no, okay, we'll give you 50 quid for your entry fee for a show. There was none of that. It was just like, I wish I had gone and worked more and earned more money and done more hours so that I could have been better as a junior bodybuilder. I wish I had gone and got working and doing more doing odd jobs and stuff, whatever I could, to make more money as a younger bodybuilder. That would have paved the way for me to be better.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, maybe I wouldn't train back 3 times a week.
I've seen pictures of you, I've seen pictures of you that Hannah sent me 6 months into your training, and your back is fucking phenomenal.
That was when I was 14.
It's fucking ridiculous. I was looking at that,
I had nothing else though, it was literally just the back. Just the back. No, what would I change? Actually, I think my training was literally just 3 sets of 15 reps. I'd leave 3 or 4 reps in reserve. It'd be lightweight, getting the pump. But I'm grateful that I did that, because I think there's a lot of new people going into training now, and obviously they're so well educated into certain types of low volume, high intensity recovery management, that where have you got to go from? If you go in, do the bare minimum in terms of the pumpy stuff, and you're able to grow from that and make good gains, then you can progress and maybe go to instead of a bro split and doing lightweight for high reps, then you can maybe go to push pull legs. Then maybe you can go to catering it specifically to your needs. So maybe a leg day with shoulders at the end, if your shoulders are,
How often do you train your back?
Me? I do push-pull legs and then... So, like, twice a week?
Yeah, that's way too much. That's way too much. Your back's way too good. It's going to get too big for the rest of your physique. I would pull back. I would hit more leg frequency.
Do push-pull legs...
Push legs,
and then like a leg pull day, maybe.
No, I do. I do push pull legs off, upper lower off. Push pull legs off, upper lower off. Mm. But the upper days would only be chest, shoulders, biceps, triceps,
and maybe some upper back rather than.
No, your back's fucking ridiculous, Kate. Okay. Maybe a bit of traps.
Yeah.
Something like that. But like no lat dominant work at all, because you just it's going to get to the point where. Not now, but should you decide to flip the switch later down the line, I mean, you decide this with Jan, but your back might get too big for the rest, and then it'll throw off the balance of your physique completely.
Yeah.
Then you won't have shit legs, but you'll look like you have shit legs because your back will be too big.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know. Food for thought.
Yeah, and it definitely is. And if someone's listening to this and they've got a similar situation where one of their body parts is just like
it's just
mad,
fucking
like
ridiculous.
Flex Lewis, his legs. Were massive.
Yeah.
So what was it? He didn't.
Taylor doesn't train his calves.
Yeah, he didn't train him. No. Yeah. It's definitely food for thought. That. Right. What else? I wouldn't change the way I trained at the beginning because now I've got the ability to like strip stuff back in.
I think one of the main things though, Caitlin, is that you've got to learn from your mistakes and stuff as well. That's why I don't say, oh, I wish I hadn't fucked my first show completely. No, I genuinely wish I had, because now I've learned all of the mistakes. Like, there isn't one that I haven't done. Literally, like, that's. I think that's made me a better coach as well, is fucking up so many times as a competitor. I know what not to do. Like,
yeah, and
miss a beat.
Absolutely, and I think, especially with your first show, because I just was not in condition at all, forever I will never think I'm in condition. Even when I get to it, I think when people get on stage but they are shredded but they have no mass, they will forever think that they're small.
That's good. I like that.
Like, I will forever never think I'm in condition. Maybe five years time,
it'd be a stage top three. No, I wasn't leaving.
No. Like, that will stick with me. And I don't know who it is that I've heard say that before, but I think it is a good thing, because that first ever show, you're not gonna be good unless you're Cal, like, and just rock up.
That was years in the making, and that was Cal's still got loads of muscle to put on, like, but his condition, he'll never be able to look back at that and go, oh, I'll just come in a bit softer than that. He's gonna have to hit that every time now, like, mentally.
Yeah.
To think, like he was just
absolutely
he was like nearly dead.
Right, next one. Yeah, he was like a skeleton, wasn't he? His face anyway, not his body, his face.
Minus the death.
Right, but, next one. Ooh, are deadlifts needed?
No, they're not needed, but if you can do them safely and without fucking your lower back up, your hips up, your knees up, your grip up, your shoulders up, do them, or find variations of them that you can do and rotate through them based on what works for you. So snatch grip, trap bar, rack pulls, off the floor deficit, you know, anything along those lines. Just work through them based on what's actually good for you. So for me, I can't deadlift at all. It fucks my lower back, like, constantly. Like, I can't do them. I just have to rule them off, because there's no way I'll ever be able to do them and my lower back stays good. It just doesn't happen. So, one of those things. But with you, your back's fucking mint and you deadlift, so...
Yeah, I think it's not the fact that you have to deadlift to have a good back. It's just people who do deadlift are biomechanically made for it, so it just further amplifies, like, how well their back hypertrophy can be. Ooh, did you hear them words coming out of my mouth then?
What did he say?
I just used the word hypertrophy. Wow. Right, rest day nutrition. This is quite a good one, because obviously I've got my diet plan and stuff from my coach, and I just follow that. But I do see quite a lot of people have different approaches. Some people will have carbs throughout the day. Some people will go zero carb until the last meal. I think this is specifically in an off season, because obviously in a prep you want to keep your rest day nutrition as low as you can.
Caitlin, I'm losing your signal a bit. Try that again.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay. So rest day nutrition. How would you personally go about setting it up in an off season? Because I think everyone in a prep would just bring calories down, but obviously in an off season, yeah, it's a bit different.
Off season, depends. Okay, the day before a weak body part, I would. You're doing a rest day the day before. I would eat your cheat meal or carb up off of that sort of day. Then I would, because then you're gonna have fuel for that day. So okay, for you, like if you wanted to bring your legs up or something on a prep, I would, or like keep them full. I would always put your, you would always have your carb ups the day before, your refeeds the day before, cheat meals the day before the actual leg day itself. Mm-hmm. Let me think of something else. But then again, on a prep, like if you've got like a stronger body part, then, and you're training on one day and you'd rather have more calories on that day simply just because you're going to need them, then, you know, the day before, you can just get away with doing fuck all carbs, really. You can just do some fats as protein and just do a higher amount of those. I mean, do you really need carbs? Probably not. Do you need some food? Yes, obviously. But do you need to be excessive? No, not really at all.
So that was obviously prep. What would you do in off season?
Again, the weak body part thing, probably do that. To be fair, you can probably just keep them the same all the way through the week. It's more like a baseline of like what's going on like throughout the week. Like it's more like I look at like a base of just total calories over the course of the week for a lot of people. For someone who's, it depends as well, like what they're doing on that day. Like, are they really active? Yeah, then they're probably still going to need the same sort of amount of food that they would for their training days. Are they not active at all? Do they sit at home and do fuck all? You can take away like some food, some carbs and stuff. Maybe just have some carbs and higher, you know, calories and stuff with the first three meals, and then the last two or three meals just fucking just pull back on them a bit. Like, that's probably what I'd do.
Okay, cool. Right, and then
what would you do with your clients?
With me, oh, to be honest, what I do is, I think in off season I would probably do zero carb until the final meal, just because of like insulin sensitivity and stuff. I don't know how well that would work, but also it's just a way of, I guess, in off season, if your appetite gets a bit bad, if you're having zero carbs from like first meal till fifth meal, then you're going to be hungry again, which I guess is sort of a good thing. It's sort of just backloading the carbs, increasing fats, and maybe reducing calories a little bit, depending, like you say, on whether this person is like a manual labourer or an office job. Okay, and then my final question, and I'm not sure if we said this, but actual good questions this week, guys, thank you very much. How do you know if the weight you're gaining, because obviously I presume the person that's asking this has a coach and they're checking in weekly, or maybe they don't have a coach and they're just checking in with themselves weekly, their weight's going up, lifts are going up, etc., but you don't know if it's tissue or fat that you're gaining? I think a large factor that I would think about is cosmetically, how you look, that's going to be the biggest role.
Yeah.
And then, like,
being honest with yourself cosmetically is one thing, like, looking at how you actually look is one thing, but then also looking at, like, how you, where the fuck is it? What the fuck is going on here with food? I ordered food ages ago and it hasn't turned up. Sorry, deviating off
how
that.
Food. What food did you order?
A pizza.
Wow, rest day.
I've been like fucking bad for pizza lately. I think I'm just getting a bit of a habit. It's probably gonna have to stop soon. I have to just actually start cooking my last meal again. Ugh, cream of rice. No, I would never eat that shit. I think cosmetic, measure your, like, take measurements, body fat wise, like, do, you know, calipers, should you need to, should you be that? But most of the time, if you're working with someone like a coach, they're going to be able to oversee that for you. They're going to go, oh, you're too fat, pull back, or they're going to go, no, you can keep pushing, it's fine. That's just one of the good beauties of having a coach, just have a good eye on you. Like, even guys at the gym who aren't your coach, if they're honest and blunt with you, like, or girls at the gym, like, just go, you know what I mean, like, they're going to go, cool, like, you look great, so keep it up.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Getting a bit too soft, pull back a bit.
Like, the thing is, in off season, yeah, obviously you're going to have the first initial drastic appearance change, gain quite a bit of fat. Most people do. That's just a given. But if you're training with the correct intensity and not being stupid, like eating out every day, I don't think you're going to get that fat if you are training with the correct intensity, because obviously you'll be utilizing the food properly. But yeah, it's pretty black and white, really. If you're training hard enough and you're sticking to your plan, that's fine. If you're not in off season and you're taking the absolute mickey with like cheat meals and eating off plan, then of course you're gonna get bigger. Yeah, don't eat pizza every night, that's all we're saying.
Don't eat pizza every night, just 2, 3, 5, 7, 10 nights a week.
10 nights a week.
10 nights a week, 8 nights a week, I eat. I'm better, actually, to be fair. I'm just trying to, for the moment with me, I'm just trying to get like 5 meals in daily. Like, if I can do that for this week, which I have managed to do this week, thank fuck, then next week I'll try 6, and then I'll just see how I look by sort of like changing them around and actually following. If I jump into a diet and I just go, I'm eating this food every single day, I'm just going to get bored of it. So at least if I follow some, you do that, I know you do that, but if I do follow, start with this and then I'll work my way into actually eating a bit more sort of regimented, then I'll actually grow. But I'm 132 kg at the moment, so that's cool.
Oh, 10% battery, apparently. It's all right.
Done anyway, Al.
Yeah, pretty much. I've finished all of the questions that I've got anyway.
Right. Just like to say a big thank you to everyone who's made it this far. If you made it this far, you're a fucking saddo.
Yeah, big thanks. Big thanks.
Big thanks, mate. Big thanks. Is that a thing now? Anyway. So, Caitlin, what are you doing tonight, apart from talking to Ben, my brother?
Oh my god, that is hilarious. Are we ending this podcast now?
Yeah, I think we're
Yeah, bye.